Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
I'm going.
Welcoming in Tuesday morning by myself, but not really, because I have Mike Romano and Reed Hodges here with me in studio.
I'm the A-minus crew,
there
as
we
I
go.
Call it.
I'm Ellen Taylor. Todd Sylvester is driving the bus over to Planned Parenthood. They're going to do a mass outside with Father Steve.
Beautiful. So, much needed in these times.
I'm not quite sure what time it's starting. Maybe you're in the area. You want to get over there. You would be more than welcome to pray with them.
Amen.
And tomorrow we'll hear from Todd how cold it was out there, and he was offering it up.
Well, it'll be Thursday because
I think he's got
something else going
on.
Yeah,
he's got to go to a funeral tomorrow. So you have me the next 2 days, and we will get through our time here together. And what a better way to do it on Tuesday morning than to bring in Father Pat Driscoll. As always, welcome, Father. How are you?
I'm doing well, Ellen. Thank you very much.
Good to be here. Well, we will get this conversation going in just a minute about our feelings during Lent. But we're open with a prayer, if you could start us there first.
Certainly. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we continue in our preparatory season of Lent, we ask that you help us through our activities to be open to your grace, to be open to your healing grace, your perfecting grace. That we can once again celebrate Easter and realize in a little bit fuller fashion, a little bit more profound way, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his passion, death, and resurrection, and what that means for us, for all of us, and to appropriate that to our lives in a little bit more profound and full way this year. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We thank our sponsor, Spring Hill College, making their students real world ready. Spring Hill College, one of the most affordable Jesuit Catholic colleges in the country. See all Spring Hill has to offer at shc.edu.
And in world news, legislation that would end the statute of limitations for lawsuits against entities that are accused of negligence involving accidents of child sexual abuse overwhelmingly passed the Maryland Senate last week. New York City Mayor Eric Adams on Sunday responded to critics of his recent statements on faith and spirituality. Adams, a Democrat and former police officer who has been in office for a little more than a year in recent weeks, has raised eyebrows by talking about God, prayer, and his ideas against the separation of church and state, saying that the root of the country's problems is a failure to embrace spirituality. He likened the current state of affairs in the U.S. to a frog placed in cool water. That's about right. Mm-hmm. Wyoming has pushed to the front of state efforts to prohibit the most common type of abortion by instituting the nation's first explicit ban on pills that terminate pregnancies. More than a dozen states now effectively ban abortion pills by prohibiting all forms of abortion, moves made after the U.S. overturned Roe v. Wade ruling last year. Gwyneth Paltrow is scheduled to stand trial today in a lawsuit filed by a retired optometrist who said that the actress turned lifestyle influencer violently crashed into him in 2016 while skiing in Utah. In a case that lasted years since the 2016 incident, Sanderson is suing Paltrow for $300,000, claiming that the accident in Park City was a result of negligence and left him with physical injuries and emotional distress.
That's a long time to be waiting on a lawsuit.
Imagine, and for $300,000 right? And get more out of her, you know. She does make millions. Magic Johnson has joined Josh Harris in a bid to buy the NFL's Washington Commanders. And let's get this. Fictional soccer coach Ted Lasso used a White House visit yesterday to encourage people, even in politically divided Washington, to make it a point to check in with friends, family, and coworkers to ask how they're doing. This was in a a way to contribute to mental health awareness.
I thought it was a way to promote the show, but that's me. I'm cynical.
Well, that too.
So Father Driscoll's with us today. So when we look at liturgical seasons and the ebb and flow of the calendars, we get excited, we get emotional about seasons. Christmas season's upon us, and we're all happy and joyful. And, you know, just the, I don't know if there's a happiness in ordinary time. Todd would know that one. But it seems when you get to Lent, it's not, it's 40 days, so it's the longest season we have in the church liturgical season, penitentially. And I guess people would say, well, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel for 40 days during Lent.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
That's why we bring you on for the biting commentary, Father Driscoll.
Yeah. How we're supposed to feel. Mm-hmm. So I guess we can start with a general sense about feelings, right? The feelings are there. They're important for us to think about, but we shouldn't be necessarily guided by them in our life. And that's just a general principle, right? I mean, the idea if we should look at our feelings and examine why do I feel this way, but to let our actions be dictated by that would certainly not be an example of being self-possessed. And that's that needs to happen for us to live our life like we need to, right? Grace builds on nature. We need to possess ourselves in order to give ourselves more fully to God and to one another. So feelings are there. They're good to be examined. They're real. But we shouldn't necessarily be guided by them. We should see what they're trying to tell us and then go from there. And Lent season would be the same way. If we have these penitential practices that we do, and they make us feel a particular way, right? So they might make us feel hungry because we fast, or desirous of something if we're fasting from some particular item, you know, whatever that might be, social media, something, or food, obviously the most common one, whatever it might be. It presents a longing for that item, whatever it might be, and that's fine. That's a feeling. I'm longing for that, or maybe I'm a little bit cranky because I haven't had this, but that's not something we should, that's not the end game. The end game is to prepare us for Lent. So it should be a thoughtful process of, well, the reason I'm feeling this lack is because I have to realize that I am, if I feel this lack, it's because that should be filled up with Christ, because Christ is the only thing that's ultimately going to satisfy me. So if I was under the delusion somehow that this thing was going to satisfy me, it's really not. And if there's a longing for the cup of coffee, or there's longing for whatever it might be, the social media, I have to realize, like, well, I should be longing for Christ like I'm longing for this item, because that's where my heart needs to be and not attached to this particular item. So I think the longing is there, the desire is there for whatever it is when I'm fasting, but it's not the end game, is to feel this way. The end game is to place that where it needs to be. What is the point of all this fasting, right? So
and I think sometimes we forget that in the midst of it, you're just grumpy perhaps, that the mm-hmm. purpose of Lent is to draw us closer to Christ, to be more Christ-like in our actions, and by satisfying our desires, that we recognize that and that we refine them and perhaps spend that time, like you said, extra time looking towards Christ. I think one of the things Lent does for me too is then when I'm confronted with a, I like to call it the unchristlike feeling. This person's annoying me. I'm lacking patience in this. And for me, and at least during this Lent, I've really stopped myself and said, yeah, I do feel like that, but I'm not going to let that rule or dictate my actions and how I respond, and kind of turning that back. So it's kind of this reminder for me to act more Christ-like too, if I'm really going to live out this season of Lent, which, and maybe it's just obvious, maybe I would have, I don't know, say back a snarky remark or something like that, but I'm really trying to bring it back to being more loving and Christ-like in those moments that I'm perhaps most annoyed or lacking patience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's great. I think that's wonderful. And look at the way we begin our Lenten season with Ash Wednesday, and how popular of how popular of a day that is for people to go to Mass. And so we all have that sense of, I think, of our mortality, and Ash Wednesday obviously gives expression to that. And what is one of the things that goes along with Ash Wednesday is abstinence, to be sure, from meat, but also the fasting on that particular day. There's only two during the year where there's abstinence and fasting involved, particular is then and Good Friday. And that's one of the most popular days of the year for people, to go to Mass. I mean, it just resonates with a lot of people. And so that starts out our penitential season with us being reminded of our mortality. And that is a sense of what Lent is about. It reminds us of our mortality. What is it that's important? What is it that gives life meaning? And it's Jesus Christ and his passion, death, and resurrection. That's what allows us to live on in the life beyond this one, which is what our soul cries out for the love of God. Our mortal soul, now immortal soul, realizes that this is what's going to satisfy us. People get that. It's a basic human thing. I'm not here forever. I'm not here forever, and I'm a sinful person. What can I do to remedy that situation? And that particular day, the church puts before us this is one thing for us to remember who Jesus is, and also to somehow gain possession of ourself, and not be too attached to worldly things in order to cling more tightly to him who is the answer to every human life, whether that question is asked or not. Jesus Christ is the answer to every human life, the answer to the question of every human life, whether that question is asked or not. You know, what is it? Who am I? What am I about? What am I here for? And we all recognize that.
I think, too, that's actually a good reminder at this midway point through Lent. We were gung-ho on Ash Wednesday. We got the ashes. We crowded into church. And there were a lot of people there. So there were a lot of people that at least had that spark to recognize that we're heading into Lent. This is a penitential season. But if maybe you're thinking about that as we're discussing this morning, and you realize I'm halfway through Lent and I really haven't done much beyond go to church on Ash Wednesday and get my ashes, that it's never too late to pivot either, to dive a little bit deeper into what the season is about. And I think you hit upon some of those points. We live in a world that seems to disregard our mortality. And everything that you look at in the culture screams at you, do this for your own satisfaction. Make your life here the most fun and exciting you can, only thinking about yourself, not about your waning days on this earth, however long they may be. And that's a good reminder for us on Lent. But many people leave the church on Ash Wednesday and not think about that again. Maybe on Good Friday they might. And so this halfway point's kind of a reminder for us that there's no getting out at the end. Everyone dies, but we know there is something after our earthly death here that has been promised to us by Jesus Christ and revealed to us. And so I think the challenge is if you're just kind of living on the surface of your Ash Wednesday ashes, which have long since worn off, that it's time to go a little bit deeper, perhaps still while you have time left.
That's good. So the church gives, as you mentioned, halfway, in case people didn't notice yesterday, or your clerical celebrant, be it a bishop, priest or bishop, noticed didn't wear the colors. Yesterday was rose for Lautare, roughly translated from the Latin rejoice. So the church reminds us through her liturgical colors that it is halfway through our penitential season. And I think you're right about that, Ellen. It's like it's like the sports analogy, right? When you go to halftime, you're going to make your adjustments.
Right.
Football teams make their adjustments. They go in and say, well, this wasn't working out for us. Let's try this. Or a pep talk from the coach. And we could say the same thing about Lautare Sunday and this being 2 days after Lautare Sunday. Yeah. So how am I doing with that? Do I need to make an adjustment on what I'm doing because it's not having its desired effect? Or have I been lackluster about carrying it out? And so I don't really have a sense that I'm improving, that this season is actually being something that is significantly preparatory for me this is a good time to do that. So I'm halfway through, and if you stick to it from here on out, you're still going to have a good Easter. It's still going to have its effect.
Mm-hmm. So
yes, we want people to go to the distance, but if not, you know, halfway's good. Halfway's good.
So I gotta ask. I mean, do you make, when you get into the pool and after your swim, do you make adjustments? You know, like, well, you know, after this swim, all right, we're gonna arch our arms a little bit more, and I think that was enabled us, all right, to swim a lot faster. All right, and so I think that's some of the adjustments that we needed to make. All right, it's a 60-minute water game. All right.
That's good. Yes, Coach.
Yeah, sure.
I do. I look at it and think, maybe did I do that better? Was I sloppy on my technique here? That kind of thing. Yes, I do. That's a very good question.
Only our show could dissolve into a Nick Saban wannabe over there, pushing us through the halfway point.
We are
of Lent.
In Lower Alabama.
Exactly.
Need I remind you?
That's a very local reference, but I love it. Exactly. So our audience over in the Tokyo, they're not quite getting that, but that's okay.
So as we actually go towards the finish line, well, we're only halfway there, so you still got some preparation to do these next few weeks before we hit Holy Week, which I think is in about 2 weeks now. And when we talk about diving deeper or reevaluating and coming back out after halftime on the second half of our Lent, is there anything specific that we maybe should add or do that we perhaps thought we might in the beginning? It's kind of waned. We're at the halfway point. Like, what do we have to do as we head towards the stretch here?
That is going to be something I think that's going to be put on each individual's heart through prayer, how I need to adjust, what's working, what's not, that type of thing. I think that's such an individual thing, as are the penitential practices, right? I mean, the church has a general guideline, but in particular, we do things that are meaningful for us. And, you know, the idea of each Friday being doing something that's penitential. It used to be, right, that it was mandated that it was no meat. And after that, people say, well, you know, things are getting slack because there's not that requirement anymore. But that lifting of that particular penance on Friday, every Friday during the year, we still maintain it during Lent, obviously. But that restriction is meant to be a higher standard and not a lower. As every ecumenical council is a higher standard and not a lower one, that move was meant to be a higher one and not a lower one, which requires our effort. Now, some people, you may still maintain not eating meat on Friday as your penitential practice. That's fine. But now you're given the option to say, is there something more meaningful for me on Friday than not eating meat? And if that's the case, I'm going to embrace that. So that ends up being a higher standard and not a lower. So we're always looking for things that are meaningful for us. And that is through prayer, through just examining our own life. Is there a particular obstacle or impediment? Or am I clinging too tightly to things? Or am I simply not in touch with God enough because I haven't given him the time? And it could be any of those things or a myriad of other things. But I think that is the fruit of us. Self-reflection, a prayerful self-reflection on our part to say, what is it that I need to do to change to do that? Because, again, the church puts before us prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. How am I doing in those things? And how can I do better?
And I think you remind us, too, we are not we have the ability to change our worlds through our actions and our personal holiness. I think some of the frustration is for people that are trying to practice these things and are do them and doubling down during Lent to do them even better. And you look over there and there's your neighbor having a hamburger who you know is Catholic on Friday. Oh, he's not even trying. And so I think it's hard for us sometimes because we know if the church, all of us who called ourselves Christians and all of us who called ourselves practicing Catholics actually practiced our Catholicism, what this world could be. So sometimes it's a little frustrating. I'm doing my part over here. I'm trying my best. And my neighbor over there, he's not doing anything, or it doesn't appear he's doing anything. So I think the other thing to do is just stay focused on Christ and for your own holiness and your own sanctification, and put those cares and worries in God's hands and not worry about what your neighbor's doing too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's an excellent lesson for all of us to learn. And that goes, I think that's a meta narrative all the way through, because mm-hmm. we could fall into pride and envy about the things we have or don't have. And the great equalizer in all of our gifts is that we're given our mix of gifts for one particular reason. And that's to allow Christ into our hearts, to live that apostolic life, to allow ourselves to grow in holiness through his grace, but also to spread his word, his message, his love throughout the life that I live. Mm-hmm. And so I need to focus on that as opposed to the lack of gifts that I have relative to my neighbor, or the excess of gifts, the abundance of gifts that I have relative to my neighbor. That's not a helpful exercise. The helpful exercise is to recognize, this is what I've been given. Now, what does God want me to do with what I've been given? And if anything about my neighbor, is to encourage my neighbor to do the same, to take that same posture, that same perspective in life. And I think Lent applies to that equally, that I do my thing. And I think there has to be an acknowledgement that it's hard. It is hard to live an apostolic life, and it's really helpful to have support in doing that. Brothers and sisters in Christ that take this proposal seriously, that allow the church to inform their lives in a meaningful and significant way. It is very helpful to have those people in our life to help us, to build us up in that, you know, and to allow God's grace to be mediated through them. That's hugely important. But when the person right next to me is not doing it, the proper response is not, well, they're not doing it, they should hop on the bandwagon. Well, maybe I should encourage them to hop on the bandwagon and to see the life, the beauty of a life in Christ.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Great way to leave it there. Father Driscoll, can we have a blessing?
Right. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Ellen. May Almighty God bless all who are listening, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Pat Driscoll, thanks so much. You can see him every Sunday at St. Dominic's.
Amen. Thanks, Ellen. Have a good day.
All you right, too. Bye-bye. Dan Burke's joining the show next. We're going to continue our discussion on spiritual warfare. I want to ask him about the foundations for discerning and navigating a path for peace. Peace. Peace.
Peace.
Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. I love that music. It gets me in the mood, and this is a perfect segment for it. Dan Burke's joining the show. We've been diving into the book, Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. Dan, I didn't mean to throw you... Well, first, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good. I didn't mean to throw you a curve, but I was asking Mike, because I'm reading this book through Lent, and it's. I was sharing with the guys on the break... I'll read a part and then I need to like digest it for a couple days and think about it. And so I was up to the part where we're talking about, I'm reading about foundations of discernment and navigating a path for peace. And I'm like, let's talk about that. And then I realized, did we cover that a few weeks ago? Is it only in my brain right now because I was reading it? And then I looked ahead and I'm like, wow, we haven't even gotten to desolation yet. So I am enjoying this book in a way that is making me think about myself and my prayer life. And the reason I want to ask you about discernment, because a lot of times we go through the motions of prayer. And when you broke it down to these kind of four things about praying, very specific, I realize, am I just surface praying to check the box? Yes, God, I'm here. I'm giving it all to you, yada, yada, yada. Now I got to get on with my day. Or am I really diving into the depths of wanting to know and love God? And I think that's a question probably a lot of people have.
You know, I love your question because it just reveals how much the Lord is at work in you, you know. I think nobody cares about that question if they aren't in the game, so to speak. But I think you do point out a really important point, and that is, and it was revealed in several of the Gospels, Matthew 7:22, in Luke, the parable of the 10 virgins, and elsewhere, that it is possible to be practicing our faith externally, or I should say, I don't know how to use it. The language kind of escapes this problem, but because practicing our faith doesn't really work either. But it's possible to be going through the motions externally, I guess, is maybe a better way of saying it. And even showing up for Mass every Sunday, you know, even clicking through rosary beads. And this will shock a lot of people. It's possible to do all of that and hear, you know, I don't know you, which I think is the point you're getting at. And in Lent, you know, we see these passages where the church reminds us what Jesus said. And one of my favorites is, rend your heart, not your garment, you know, which is a reference to an Old Testament passage. And in another place you'll hear, I don't want your sacrifice. You know, I want your heart. Mm-hmm. And of course he wants our sacrifice. And he wants us to go to Mass, and he wants us to click through our rosary beads. But what he doesn't want is for us to be deceived that a mere outward performance of these things without a deep, loving relationship is what James called in his epistle a dead faith. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a faith that doesn't save. It's a faith that isn't living. It's not real. It's only external. And of course, the Pharisees had that dead faith. Many of them, some of them actually were his followers. But in the church today, we can think, well, that, you know, the Pharisees isn't me because, you know, I'm loving or I'm kind. Well, it doesn't really matter if you're loving or kind, if you're doing it because it satisfies you, or you have your own checklist of what you think is what God wants from you, and you're fulfilling your own kind of religion within Catholicism. And I'm not doing a great job of explaining all of this, but is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. And just to share, you know, personally with me, so I work in Catholic radio, and people say, oh, you're so holy, you're giving your life to the Lord. But I wake up every day and I'm like, Lord, if this is not making me holier, if this is not doing your work, then take it away, because I'll go work at the 7-Eleven and I will work on my spiritual life in some other way. It's probably like that for a lot of people that are active in their faith that might be listening to this program. I teach CCD. I'm at the weekly prayer group. I'm helping with the youth group. I mean, I'm doing all these activities, and I always got to stop and pause because they are all good things, but are they leading to or helping me in my holiness? And I think that's something we all ask.
That is such an important question, because Jesus in Matthew in the 7:22 passage, he said, you're going to call me Lord, and the people you're describing call Jesus Lord. You know, you're going to cast out demons in my name. You're going to do many great works in my name and all of that. And he says, I don't know you. Well, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. It happens when we don't cultivate. I think the fundamental differentiation, if I could just summarize it, is when we don't cultivate an interior relationship with him out of which our external actions flow. Mm-hmm. So said another way, our external acts must come from love and a heart oriented to God, not from self-justification and external religion. And just help me if I'm not being clear.
No, and I think that makes sense. So I guess my follow-up question is, okay, I recognize that could be a problem. Other people probably in the same boat. So where do we go? How do we go then deeper in getting that authentic, loving relationship, not one that's just activities?
Perfect. So St. John of the Cross answered this very question in the book of entitled Ascent of Mount Carmel. And what he said was, you have to come to know Jesus to emulate him and to love him. And how do you do that? The answer is, you know, we've talked about this on this show. The answer is found in Into the Deep. The answer is in the Gospels. And that is daily going to prayer with him. In the beginning, it's daily study, reading, contemplating, talking to Jesus about what you're seeing in the Gospels, because that's the source par excellence, if you will, of how we come to know him and love him. Like, you know, the passage this morning really struck me, and I was so blessed to hear it again on your radio show about him healing. And I thought, you know, our God loves to heal. He wants to heal. It isn't that we have to beg him somehow to compel his heart to look down upon us and desire to heal. He actually looks at us and thinks, you know what? He thinks, Ellen, you're beautiful. I made you for an internal relationship with me, and this thing in you needs to be healed. Would you please let me? You know, okay. It's more of that kind of beautiful disposition God has than I think sometimes we conceive of him as, well, we need to beg him to do this thing that we want, but he actually wants to heal us. He wants to love us. He wants to draw near to us. But if we don't give him time every day, and this is the key, where we spend intimate time trying to get to know him and to love him, it can be 10 minutes just to start, then we'll probably end up just caught in external works that become ultimately dry and lifeless.
I guess that's going to lead us to the later part in the book of desolation. And I'm sure we're going to dive into that more in the future weeks. So you're a person now that's taken to heart everything you've said. And I'm diving deep in. I am in sanctifying and increasing my prayer life so it becomes a worthy offering and giving glory to God. I'm doing the things that I should. And then we come to desolation. Not feeling it. I mean, I kind of feel it. It's better than living out in the world and doing, you know, mundane or things that are not sanctifying or edifying to my soul. But I'm not really feeling this Christian joy that sometimes I see in my neighbor. So it seems like we're going to roll into that next, where we've laid the foundation. We focused in on how to those external things that can help us internally become holier. And then what do we do? And this is kind of setting up. I'm setting you up for the shot for the next episode.
Well, and you're right on target in the sense that when you follow him, it is normal to have times of elation. It's normal to have times of darkness. It's normal to have times where you don't feel his presence. And then the question is, what do we deal with that? Do with that? Because it's all allowed or caused by him, one or the other. However, the proximate causes, the sources, are evil, are either the enemy or the good spirits. And when we learn where they come from, then we can decide how to deal with them in God's plan, so that we grow ever more deeply in holiness and in relationship with him. But the key is we've got to have the foundation in place, which is, I'm glad you brought us back to that this morning. And that is, we've got to say yes. We've got to be in the sacraments, right? And then we've got to be in daily mental prayer. And then those lay the foundation so that we can really begin to discern. And without those, it's sort of like, you know, going on a hiking trip up in the mountains without a backpack, without water, without, you know, protective gear, without boots, without socks. You know, you can't really travel the road if you're not traveling it with him, which begins in the sacraments and prayer.
And I think, to your point too, because a lot of us surely have felt the highs of loving the Lord and feeling it, and the lows of not feeling anything and feeling desolate. But I think the key point you hit on, and we'll move forward with that, is that if you don't have the foundation, if I have not spent some time understanding, clarifying, loving our Lord in my life, that when the desolation and when those slings and arrows come at you, you're not going to be able to discern them, and you're going to fall in the attack. So I think sometimes even even when I'm not feeling it, I know I've laid the foundations for what is there. And God, for whatever in his wisdom, or because he's God, has removed that comfort feeling. But now I'm relying on trust.
Yeah, you said it really well. When the foundations are there, we can see clearly. But when the foundations are not there, like, who are we consulting? You know,
yeah.
Think about being with Jesus in the first century. You know, if I'm feeling desolation, I'm going to go to him and talk to him. Well, if I don't know him very well, then I've got a whole bunch of other things I need to do first. But once you begin to speak with him daily, that conversation, that time with him, actually suppresses sin, increases virtue, which means we become clearer in our thinking. We become less deluded in our thinking. We become more self-aware in an accurate way. We all know people who don't know themselves at all, and they think they do, but we know they don't, because they don't see, you know, the crazy things that they do and the patterns that they do to harm themselves and others. But when we're close to Jesus, he reveals those things to us, and he'll help us walk through those difficult moments. But without that closeness, that intimacy, it's just like having a relationship with my wife. You know, if I don't speak with her every day, if I don't spend intimate time with her every day, and we come to a storm in life, right, we're either going to be divided or separated or more deeply united. The relationship outside of the storm determines how well we weather the storm. And if we're prepared for it and we're strong, then the storm will draw us together. Similarly, when we hit aridity and desolation and this darkness that does descend, by the way, on every Christian, no matter how devout, it's just normal that we undulate through in and out of consolation and desolation. When the darkness descends, if we have a relationship with him, we'll have a sense of how to get free. But of course, there are specific things we'll be talking about in future conversations about how to do that.
Well, now I'm curious, and I'm going to skip ahead in the book maybe this week. Dan Burke, the book is Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. It's excellent. I recommend it. It's a change in my Lent. We will talk to you soon, Dan.
God bless.
Thank you. It's so good. We got our Cardinals in the courtyard, a representative in the house, Mike? We do.
We do.
Lindsay Schumacher is joining us. She's going to talk about Cardinals in the courtyard at St. Michael Catholic High School next on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us. Oh, welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. We love talking about good things going on in our community, and that brings us to the annual Cardinals in the Courtyard. It is a fundraiser for St. Michael Catholic High School, and this is their seventh annual event, and I was there last year. It really was a beautiful evening, crossing fingers and praying that it goes just as well this year. But in studio, we have with us Lindsay Schumacher, and she had to remind us, Mike, that we met her when her child was at St. Benedict's, and you come in for pledge drive and talk about all the good things there. And, you know, kids have this way of getting older.
They're the ones that had the beautiful voices that sang. I think they had the whole choir inside the studio.
24 people. Remember Tom McDonald? So anyway, kids have a way of growing up and see what happens when you find a parent. They're like gold that can sit on a committee. So Lindsay Schumacher is representing Cardinals in the Courtyard as a parent who is helping organize this. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Great. So give us a little background. I was there last year. It was a beautiful event there. And so tell us what this is about and how people can get involved in all the good stuff.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the seventh annual, as you mentioned, and if weather is cooperating, it will be under the stars again this year in the beautiful courtyard on campus at St. Michael Catholic High School. And this year we're going to have dueling pianos by Felix and Fingers. So we're really excited about that.
I just want to see them rolling those dueling pianos out to the court. Very nice.
Yes.
My song is better than yours.
And we're also going to have gourmet tasting stations and fabulous food by the Wash House and Kaneka Sausage, everybody's favorite, mm-hmm. and also homemade pralines by Punta Clara Candy Kitchen. So it's going to be a great event.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Of course, this is all a fun time with a purpose because Catholic education and Catholic school and a growing Catholic school like St. Michael's is needs the support of not only parents like yourself, but also the community in helping it grow and raise up our and teach our children in their Catholic faith.
Absolutely. This is such a major fundraiser for the school because it helps to continue the mission, and that's to inspire our students to become scholars, leaders, and disciples of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this year, it's just amazing to see how many people come together, friends, families of St. Michael, but also the community businesses. Mm-hmm. We have, obviously, at the event, we have a live auction, but we also have an online auction because there's a lot of people that want to support the school but can't actually come to the event.
Right.
So on the live auction this year, though, we have some really neat items. We have a dove hunt by Mullick Farms. We have a $2,000 gift certificate donated by Polish Nail Bar. So that's really exciting.
Oh, that's going to keep you looking good for a while.
I know, for a whole year. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And then Manning Jewelers has donated a gorgeous diamond pendant. And then we have two precious puppies. Do you remember the puppy last year?
Oh, the puppy was great. Which ones do you have this year?
Well, we have another one of those, Ponta Creek Pups of Stapleton, an English Springer Spaniel puppy, adorable. And then this year new, Smeraglia Farms has donated a teddy bear English Golden Doodle. Precious.
Oh, look at Mike.
That has your name all over
it. I know.
Right? A brother or sister for Max.
I don't know. We've kind of been a one-dog household.
Now make it two.
It's kind of like children. Once you open the door, you know,
More
the merrier.
No, then I'm going to be like the crazy dog
she
lady
makes a
here.
Great point. That's a great point.
It becomes easier after one. That's what everyone says.
Yeah.
It does.
That is really good, because what I love last year when scrolling through the auction page was there were so many unique things to bid on and things in different price range. Not everyone's got, you know, or the space for a dog, but
right.
or needs a home. So I think you had a home or a trip last year, but there's smaller things that you can bid on that are just beautiful. Where can they find the auction page?
And right now, and there's hundreds of items on the online auction. You can preview it right now. You can go to our school website if you'd like at stmichaelschs.org and just look for the Cardinals in the Courtyard tab, or you can go there directly, and it's CITC, so that stands for Cardinals in the Courtyard, the number 2323 uh-huh. .givesmart.com. And I'll say that one more time. It's CITC23.givesmart.com. And like you said, I mean, just the community has been overwhelmingly supportive. Mm-hmm. We've got gift certificates to restaurants, boutiques, a trip to Gatlinburg, Condos at the Beach by Brett Robinson and Young's, even a turquoise place, a bay house that's gorgeous, custom art, and even beer for a year if you'd like that.
See, they're thinking of everybody here.
I know. And a new feature that we have, I don't know if they told you about it, is an instant buy option.
Okay.
Yeah. So some of the popular items, and let me just tell you, are you seeing?
No, I'm looking at the golden doodle puppy.
Isn't it adorable?
It is.
So okay. cute. But Coastal and the Floribama have donated a 92-foot Paragon yacht for the day.
Wow.
Yes. So you have a private captain. They pick you up in Orange Beach. You and I believe it's about 20 of your friends, I believe, and you go to Fort McRae for the day. So that's going to be amazing, and that's on the Buy It Now option, as well as a lot of fun things like a private poolside crawfish boil overlooking Wolf Bay, and they're going to have acoustic music, and you can have up to 30 of your friends come there, and they're going to have homemade cupcakes by Name It Cakes, Christina Hickson. So that's a really exciting Buy It Now. And then a Clyde Mays bourbon tasting experience with actual
the grandson of Clyde May will be there, mm-hmm. L.C. May, and guests will have it. Chef Will Hughes with Provision will be there doing a wonderful dinner, and you'll have the bourbon tasting along with the dishes. And this is for up to 10 people, so that's a really exciting item as well.
I'm cracking up. I mean, they got everything. A painted senior parking spot. oh, it's for a school. I thought you meant like a senior citizen.
No.
For a senior at school. That's funny.
Yeah, and they get to paint it like their own parking spot. Won't that be adorable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That will have somebody saving their pennies because it is, you know, for grandparents, parents, kids. Yeah. I mean, this is an event to really support mm-hmm. and probably the main fundraiser that St. Michael Catholic High School does during the year, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, looking at the amount of work that goes into it, I think one fundraiser like this would be enough.
It's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun because it's uh-huh. just such a great cause and so many people come together to support it. So, mm-hmm. in fact, I don't know if you've noticed that Father Steve and Father Zogby are donating their time, and they're going to actually, Father Steve's going to have a private mass and dinner for up to 60 people, and that's an item that people can go on and just buy the tickets for. So you don't have to have all 60 friends to come to this. They'll have 60 tickets available uh-huh. for $75 each, and then you can come and enjoy a catered dinner in the beautiful Holy Spirit Hall
oh, nice.
With Father Steve. And then Father Zogby's going to do a private mass at St. Margaret of Scotland, followed by a dinner at Jesse's, and there's going to be 36 tickets available for that at
oh, wow.
$175 each. So,
huh?
Yeah.
And they're both amazing cooks too.
I know.
I don't know if Father Steve could cook for 60 people. He's got that ability.
Right.
You know, with 60 people. I mean, you know, it's going to be fine. It's nothing. You know.
Are there tickets still available for the event if you want to go in person to the dinner?
There are a few left, yes, okay. and that's also on the St. Michael okay. website or the same on the items. You can purchase tickets there as well. And uh-huh. they're going to preview the online auction items until 8 p.m. tonight. At 8 p.m. tonight, the auction opens,
okay.
and you can start bidding. If you're interested in the Buy It Now, I do suggest that you're on there right at 8 p.m. because we do have a lot of people excited about some of the Buy It Now options. But uh-huh. the other items will be available for 1 week, so next Tuesday at 8 p.m. the auction will close.
So it'll go through past the fundraising.
Exactly.
Okay. What's this FMV, like some of the items have FMV 45, like see that?
The actual retail value.
Oh, okay. Look at that. See, I'm learning the lingo on how to bid on the auction.
Maybe full market value.
Okay, that sounds good.
What's the full market value on that dog?
$3,200.
You can
no wonder
some,
Max doesn't
move
have
some
a sibling.
Funds over, move some assets over.
I got Max in the bargain bin in Indiana. But it wasn't for a good cause like this.
But and it was a good cause for Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could name the dog Michael then. If I don't even know if it's
a
boy or a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max and Michael.
The English Springer is a little boy. Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He came to visit the students the other day. The wards brought him, and the students fell in love with him. So I know there was a lot of parents thinking,
no, don't let my kids see that puppy.
Absolutely.
But you can bid on pet grooming here too. Somebody's offered that. So it comes with a package. good things going on at St. Michael. Anything else you want to share with us in regards to this? This is the big thing, and I know coming up, as always, spring is heavy, busy time at schools. You got baccalaureate masses, you got graduations.
Spring break's coming up.
That's right. We'll mm-hmm. get through Lent here and then spring break. And before you know it, they're checking out for like the end of the year.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. We just got through Mardi Gras, right? But it's just a wonderful school. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to tour it, but mm-hmm. it's just a fabulous, fabulous place with wonderful faculty. And the students, they're just dynamic. And mm-hmm. so we just really want to thank the community for all of their support, not just for this fundraising event, but throughout the year.
It's really
grown throughout the years. Mm-hmm. I'm sure one would be excited about the dueling piano.
Oh, Mike wants to go there because then you're going to have a little glass of wine here and jump in singing.
Mike, no.
I think they do have the crowd participation, so I'm kind of excited.
Oh, that's cool.
I know.
That's cool.
That is good.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, go to St. Michael Catholic High School, St. Michael
CHS.org.
That's the main website.
Mm-hmm.
And you can click on that, and you can, or you can go right to their page, which is Cardinals in the Courtyard, CIT. You better read it again.
Okay. Yeah. CITC. So that stands for Cardinals in the Courtyard 23.givesmart.com. But if they do go to the school website, they can find it under the giving, I believe, Cardinals in the Courtyard tab as well. That can direct you there.
Okay. It looks like good stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to pick through it. I don't know about the doodle, but there might be something else on there for me.
Well, thank you
pet
so
grooming.
Much.
Yeah.
Lindsay Schumacher, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all the parents who do such a good job supporting that school, and you, the Amen. Community as well. We thank our sponsor, Eastern Shore Urgent Care and Daphne Walkering, offering walk-in medical attention for minor emergencies and illnesses. Open 7 days a week. Visit them on Urgent Care Drive across from Lowe's, or contact them at 251-626-3782 or at esucare.com. Mike, what's going on tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow Tom Riello talks about the transgender policy for the Diocese of Baker. We'll talk with Michelle Borstein from the Washington Post and Rusty Reno from First Things to get their take on clerical integrity and hookup apps.
Oh, it's going to be a heavy
you're
day. Making me work my Lent here, Mike.
I know. That's what I'm here for.
I know. But God is good, and the faith is what is important.
Amen.
A lot of peripheral things to distract you. Keep your eye on Jesus Christ this Lent.
Amen. Be the joy of the gospel every day.
Yep. Thanks for joining us. I guess I got to say the exit. Todd's not here. Look at me. Have a great day.
God bless you, and don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.